Doug Hagman, HagmanReport.com. Today is Thursday, December 8th, 2022. Steve Quayle could not be with me today, so it's me coming to you from my office. I want to thank you for your belief and trust in this platform. Have a lot of information to get into. Want to get right into it. Want to start out by saying the environment which we find ourselves right now. We need to prepare. We need to prepare our homes, our families for the long-term level of being uncomfortable. But even more than that, in my view, we need to prepare for things going kinetic. And I've got some illustrations here to show you. I believe once you see what I will show you, you're going to understand exactly what I'm talking about. Very uncomfortable things to talk about, especially the case of Angela Redding out of the North Hanover Township Elementary School District in New Jersey. Now, this involves not just the school, but the parent, the school, law enforcement. And law enforcement's overlap with military, law enforcement, military, school versus a mother who is concerned over what is being shown, displayed, and taught to the children there. I want to open with Tucker Carlson. I think that's the appropriate thing to do. I want to show you this. Tucker Carlson addressed this the other night, and this is from an incident a few days ago, and I'm going to dig into this because this is going to be one of those hinge moments, those flash points in time, I believe, that will make things that will set things into motion. So I want you to prepare, again, prepare emotionally, prepare spiritually, prepare practically, because things are heating up, and I do suspect that they will go kinetic. Here is Tucker Carlson, and right here, go ahead and watch this.
So a few days ago, a mother in New Jersey called Angela Redding found out that her child's elementary school was advertising something called pansexuality. And she thought this seems a little much for an elementary school, so she complained about it on Facebook. What happened next didn't used to happen in this country and never should. And we only know about it because of a Substack called Chaos and Control, which broke the story. And as we read it, we thought this can't be real, but it is. So in response to Angela Redding's post, out of the blue, an Army officer at Joint Base MDL, it's a nearby military base, called Angela Redding an extremist on Facebook. That officer is called Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Schilling. Schilling then wrote on Facebook that, quote, the Joint Base leadership have had the security forces working with multiple state and local law enforcement agencies to monitor this situation. What? So the military responded to a mom in an elementary school complaining about the sexualization of her own child? That's a warranted a military response under Joe Biden? Apparently it did. Then shortly after, the chief of the North Hanover Police Department, Robert Duff, pressured Redding to delete her Facebook post. Let that sink in. The police and the military got involved because a mom wrote something on Facebook they didn't like. Today, Joint Base MDL confirmed to this show that they, quote, notified law enforcement about the social media exchange, which is common information sharing practice among law enforcement agencies. Except, wait a second, a military base is not a, quote, law enforcement agency. The purpose of the military is to defend us from foreign enemies, not to police our Facebook posts. This is mind-boggling, and we pray someone does something about it.
So what I've done, I've reached out to a couple of military assets that I know and learned that there are certain agreements between the local military bases, depending now that this is geographically specific, and I can't get into the specifics because I'm not 100% certain of the specifics. But you've got this working cooperative between law enforcement and military. specific to the threat locally against local school boards, city councils, county councils, state reps, and the like. Now, none of this is constitutional. None of this is lawful, but yet it's happening. I'm going to show you the article as well, share with you the article where this originated. And this is the Substack article. Let me make sure I've got the, yeah, here we are, right here. This is the chaos and control.substack.com. Woke New Jersey military goes after a local mom. Now, I'm not going to read this, but for the radio listeners, I will go over the gist of this, and I will read portions of this. I'm not going to read the entire thing. But for the past two years, this article starts out. And by the way, again, I want to credit Chaos and Control Substack. This is by an author that goes by the name of Math Goddess. But for the past 2 years, and oh, by the way, the links will be in the program description box for this particular episode. But for the past 2 years, parents have witnessed New Jersey schools going overboard in the name of diversity, equality, and inclusion. When the schools start decorating the entrance of the local elementary school with children's art displays, art that displays virtues of being polysexual, you know things have just gone too far. Now, last week, this Substack author reported on Safe Space Posters Project, displayed in the main entrance of the North Hanover Township Elementary School District, celebrating all different definitions of sexuality drawn by the fourth to the sixth graders. So you've got fourth, fifth, and sixth graders drawing issues defining the various sexualities. All right. Now, writes this author, this is surprising coming from North Hanover, a conservative military town with Republican legislatures. Mom and Board of Education member Angela Redding alerted parents on Facebook as to what was transpiring in the school's hallway, what was posted there. And then out of the blue, our U.S. military became involved. A high-ranking military official, Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Schilling, stated that the Joint Base McGuire Fort Dixon Lakehurst leadership is now working with local law enforcement to ensure the safety of the entire community. Now, when I spoke with my military contacts, again, not as deep as others might have, they're looking at this from a safety point of view. In other words, school shootings, they're looking at this as, well, if you criticize this, this could perhaps lead to violence, including but not limited to school shootings. So this Angela's Facebook post, which you can see here, if you're watching this on either Rumble or Brighteon, and by the way, if you're watching this on Brighteon or Rumble, please give us a thumbs up or a like on Brighteon. And spread this on social networking as well. Angela's post, and you can read the post, it certainly is not offensive. It's informational. Now, this Chris Schilling from the military side of things has an objection to Angela's post. As you go down through the article, you can see where Lieutenant Colonel Schilling seems to imply that Angela Redding has endangered the entire community by being a concerned parent, by being a whistleblower, and informing parents as to what is being displayed in the entranceway to the school, where, by the way, everyone would be able to see this. Now, many parents who have learned about the inappropriate posters created by the 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, have posted to Facebook because it is so alarming. And you can read this for yourself. I'll put a link in the program description box to this particular Substack. But what's interesting is this Schilling came back and doubled down on against Angela Redding and anyone else who might have an objection to this. Writes this Substack author, it is shocking that an active military lieutenant colonel is so heavily involved with the police that he is able to speak as an official regarding the investigation and threats to Angela. Okay, so this is where the problem, the upcoming and continuing to increase problem will arise and is arising. The question remains now, how much influence does that joint military base have over the local police in North Hanover? How closely are they working together to investigate citizens that use their freedom of speech? That's a great question. And what would possess this particular lieutenant colonel to reveal the grade and the classroom of Angela's minor child, which is reflected in the post above, on the public forum of Facebook, if he is busy keeping the community safe? Interesting way of looking at that. Now, what this Schilling, what the military is doing, the U.S. military is doing, as you can read here, is putting a target on the back of Angela and her minor child by speaking on behalf of the military against her and revealing the grade of her child. Now, I'll tell you something, okay? If this was my child or my grandchild, there would be hell to pay, and there should be hell to pay. But think about what is happening here, the larger picture. We are now engaged in a battle that is raging between local law enforcement and the U.S. military against parents who have an objection about the material that is found that are being produced by 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. And you can go through this and read through this. And you can check this out. And I would urge you to do so. But we must fight back against this. We must fight back against any kind of suppression of freedom of speech, number one. But number two, the bigger issue here is we must ask why. Under what authority does the military have to become involved with the local police department against this parent? And where else is this happening? This is scary stuff. Very, very frightening stuff. By the way, this author does a great job in the investigative piece here. Writes that after releasing official joint investigation information. That statement right there, which attacks, by the way, Angela Redding in multiple posts. That's that part of that sentence right there verifies the fact that the military and police departments are working together, at least in North Hanover, New Jersey. Where else is this happening? We must find out and we must continue to fight against this. All right. This will be, folks, I guarantee you, this will be one of those situations that will take this kinetic. And I would urge everyone to take a look at that Substack article, and please retweet this put this on your social networking. Make sure the story of Angela Redding is heard, as well as all of the parents who find objection to that material. Please do that. All right. Now, there's something else, well, a couple of other things, too. Not too far from there, we are watching society break down. I don't know how many people are familiar with this or not. I'm going to share this with you as well. Let me find it here. Oh, I don't have it handy here. Stand by. All right. Let me see if I can do this. Let me, and forgive me because Eric the Tech is off today. All right. This was the article about Angela Redding. Virginia. I'm sorry. I'm going to take you to Virginia next. Virginia Elementary School, a Satanist club is being planned at a Virginia elementary school. Now, I'm not going to play this clip by Emerald Robinson. You can play it yourself. The link will be in the program description box. But a Virginia elementary school may soon be hosting a after-school Satan club program. Of course, they reached out to the governor of Virginia, their office, for comment on the story, but they didn't respond. You can listen to Emerald Robinson's full report. All right. Not too far from the New Jersey location is Virginia, but if you go in the other direction, you come to Philadelphia. The degradation of society, the actual takedown of society is taking place right now. A Philadelphia gas station owner has hired security guards armed with AR-15s and other type-like weapons, I should say, and dressed in Kevlar vests. This is getting some very negative press in the mainstream media. But what is happening now is people are realizing, business owners are realizing that the George Soros installed prosecutors are not doing their job, and the police, when needed, are not doing their job as well, oftentimes being told to stand down. Well, this owner of a Philadelphia gas station recently reported hiring a security team armed with AR-15 shotguns and decked out in Kevlar vests as he fights to combat the city's ongoing crime crisis. This is reported, I believe this was the Daily Mail by Sophie Mann. And the gist of the story really is in the four bullet points there. A North Philly gas station owner, Neil Patel, hired a private security team in the wake of a handful of break-ins and thefts at his property. Though some in the neighborhood are opposed to his decision, he says his actions are driven by concern for his employees and customers. Now, when I show you, and I bring this down and show you what he's dealing with, you'll know why. This is the picture you're looking at right now. If you're watching this, is, of course, the business owner, Neil Patel. He said the community is tired of this nonsense, the robbery, the drug trafficking, the gangs that are making it almost impossible to run neighborhood businesses that are seriously damaged by repeated theft. You see it, I see it all of the time on different videos. He hired a company called Site, S-I-T-E. Well, Site Chief Andre Boyer said his team are armed and trained to protect customers' property by any means necessary. Patel said he has not had a problem with neighborhood criminals since bringing on extra security. Let me tell you something. Guns are a marvelous equalizer, and defensive property, I'll tell you this right now. I think the gangs, the mobs, would think twice before going into a store to do this. This is an image that you're looking at right here of Patel's gas station store after it was ransacked by a local gang of criminals. Oh, and here's one better. Let me see here. Where do I have it? I think it's down here. Oh, yeah. This picture here at the bottom of the article shows someone stealing from the inside of the store, not money, not merchandise, but the ATM machine. And then, of course, Patel's own vehicle shows There's a picture here of his own vehicle, slashed tires, the windshield being smashed. That wasn't shown. But here are the two armed guards at this gas station. But again, in response to this, so we as a society, where are we as a society headed? I'm telling you right now, this will be the norm, because the district attorneys in many of these blue cities, they're not doing their jobs. The police are being told to stand down by the mayors. So this is where we're headed, and we need to prepare ourselves mentally, again, spiritually, mentally, and even to the extent possible, physically, by being able to defend oneself as we go out to shop or to get gas or whatever it might be. Here is the news report now from from Fox 29 in Philadelphia about this. And the reason I want to play just a few minutes of this, listen to how this is portrayed and how they, even a Fox affiliate, how they are approaching this. Here it is.
We got a question for you. Would this make you feel safe? Take a look. A security guard armed with a semi-automatic weapon. It's happening at a North Philly gas station. The owner coming up with the idea to scare off criminals. If you saw this, this is our go vote for tonight. Would you feel safer or uncomfortable? So right now the vote is 65% of you saying safer, 35% uncomfortable. So be sure to vote at fox29.com/.
Okay. So 65% safer, 35% uncomfortable. Yeah, I'd say that's a vote for the initiative. And I'm glad he did that. Now, there are a few other things taking place that really you need to know about that I wanted to get this in this very informal briefing right now. Last Saturday, if you take a look at this, this is from North Carolina. Last Saturday, and this did not get the coverage that it should have gotten. There were massive power outages that were the power outages were traced to gunfire at a power station. The title of this headline is "All Power Restored in North Carolina 4 days after gunfire led to massive outages." Authorities are offering a $75,000 reward posted for information leading to the arrest and conviction of those responsible for the blackout in Moore County, North Carolina. What happened was on Saturday, somebody had breached the security gate at the facility in this county, at this power facility this county, and shot up the transformer. Now, it took 4 days to restore power, but be prepared for stuff like this taking place. I would say in this particular case, now some people will say, I would believe that an arrest will be imminent. I would really look closely at that arrest. I would look closely at what's going on. Because I do believe we are going to be seeing more and more and more and more issues like this. Is this the particular one? No, that's the video about the, okay, that's something different. Something else too, that's related to the, and I'm going to keep flipping as quickly as possible. Something else that's related to what's going on with the moral decay in our country, and the fact that Andrew Breitbart had stated one of his famous lines is, "Politics is downstream of culture." Lame duck congressional sessions are extremely dangerous because you have people going out of Congress, quitting, you know, their last time in office, and you've got others that, well, it's just a lame duck session. The homosexual marriage bill, that has been that is threatening religious freedom heads to Biden's desk. 39 Republicans voted for it, and here they are. This is a very interesting article in the Daily Signal. And again, you can find the link at HagmanReport.com. But the House of Representatives gave final approval for this. And listen to the name of this, because anything, the language has been destroyed. Our language has been changed and destroyed. It means just the opposite. This Respect for Marriage Act. The House of Representatives gave final approval to this Respect for Marriage Act today. The bill, which passed 258 to 169, is now headed to Biden's desk. Now, remember, it went through the Senate, went to the House. Okay, they added some things into this bill. Every single Democrat voted for this legislation. As did, are you ready, 39 Republicans. This is the uniparty, as we have spoken about. Most Republicans, 169, voted against the measure. One voted present, and four didn't vote. But the Bill Pascrell Jr., posted a tweet saying this: "We just voted to enshrine marriage equality as the law of the land, and 81% of Republicans voted no." 81% voted no. Okay. And that's about right with respect to the, well, that is correct with respect to the numbers. 39 individuals voted no. "We made history without them." You sure did make history without them. Now, this goes on to say that the Senate passed a bill 61 to 36 last week. What this bill attempts to do is to codify the Supreme Court's 2015 Obergefell ruling. And how many people remember that? Okay. The House, okay, by the way, that was to codify, or the Supreme Court legalize, if you will, homosexual marriage. Now, that was Obergefell versus Hodges, as I just mentioned, or as I should have mentioned, which legalized same-sex marriage. Biden, of course, is expected to sign the bill into law, but the House previously voted to pass the Respect for Marriage Act in July. Now, here's the thing. You know the thing. All Democrats, by the way, voted in favor. 220, 157 Republicans voted against. 47 Republicans joined the Democratic colleagues in voting for the bill. Now, very interesting Republicans, list of Republicans. Elise Stefanik from New York, chairwoman of the House Republican Conference. Adam Kinziger, no surprise there, Illinois. Scott Perry from Pennsylvania. Yes, Pennsylvania, I'm sorry. Liz Cheney, gee, what a surprise. And yes, Lee Zeldin. Huh. Pay attention to those names. I want to go down here because the meat, the real meat of this is the religious part of this. Let's see here. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, read this and understand what this does. This will create, how can I best put this? This will create a criminal class, or has the potential to create a criminal class, should you decide not to involve yourself in this hideous I can marry whoever I want to, a man, a goat, a chicken, whatever, okay, going against your religious beliefs, maybe, given the language of this bill, allowed and or required, I should say, not allowed, but required. Now, That's the Religious Liberty Amendment. Senator Mike Lee of Utah, in this article states right here, as you can see, introduced this Religious Liberty Amendment to the Senate version of the bill. This, what this purportedly does, the Respect for Marriage Act's leading proponents amended the bill by adding protections for religious service attendance and the solemnization of marriage. Here's the money statement. But those protections are inadequate to address many of the gravest risks posed by this bill, specifically those threatening the tax-exempt status of religious nonprofits. All right, now, the revisions supposedly fix that. They did not, and I will tell you this, they are coming after the religious not-for-profits. Okay, I'm telling you that this is, and opening up both civil, this is my personal investigative opinion now, opening up through this federal, by codifying this federally, opens up a variety of both civil and potential criminal charges should you violate this particular act. Biden's going to sign this, obviously. It's a done deal. All right. I want to let's see here. Oh, yeah, a couple of things as well, because again, I want to get through as much as I can here. I don't want anyone to forget about the January 6th prisoners. Let's not forget about them. Gateway Pundit is reporting this. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser is refusing to allow the January 6th political prisoners visitation, even computer visitation, after nearly 2 years in the D.C. gulag. Now, I'll tell you this. I've been to Attica. I've been to Rikers. I've been to various prisons, both, well, not both, but including federal, state, and at county levels, and even the city jail, to interview subjects, suspects, whatever. And some of the, even some of the most locked up people, and I really vividly remember Attica, all right? There was, and especially in the latter period, there were privileges given to even some of the most hardened criminals there, including and especially visitation rights. And in some of the county level jails that I've been to, I've seen prisoners being able to rent out of their commissary budget with what looks like an iPad for FaceTime visitation or face-to-face visitation by way of communication. But Muriel Bowser has refused to allow this to happen. This is a big deal, and I think people really need to understand how bad this is. The prisoners, the J6 political prisoners who are detained in the Washington, D.C. jail, they're calling on all of us to demand that Mayor Bowser allow them visitation, even computer visitation with their families. Bowser revoked those privileges through visitation privileges, in-person visitation privileges, throughout the, or for reasons of the COVID pandemic, but also included in that revocation remote online visitation from unvaccinated inmates. Now, think about that. Does that even make sense? It just blows my mind. So you've got to, I think people have to understand that, man, there is a huge, just a huge war taking place between the people who care about our Constitution and want to make America great again, keep America great, whatever the phrase might be, and it doesn't have to be associated with Donald Trump at all, but between the patriots and the communists in this country. I wanted to show that to you. All right. This is something. Let me see if this is the right one here. Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. This is from Revolver. I wanted to get to it earlier this week. I didn't have a chance. To me, this is extremely important. This is a conversation between Darren Beatty and Noor bin Laden. Okay. Yes, the sister of Osama bin Laden. But regardless, a smoking gun of the Fed's erection, Beatty gives all the dark, dirty details of the January 6th pipe bomber hoax, no holds bar phone call. Now, this page at Revolver goes into the, it actually plays a phone call. Noor bin Laden writes this: the regime describes January 6th as the worst terrorist attack since 9/11. Even worse than 9/11. Yet the FBI are withholding key footage of the DC pipe bomber, and no one wants to talk about it. Why is that? Darren Beatty calls him out. Now, it's kind of a spoiler alert. If you don't want to listen to the phone call, it's a fascinating phone call. Maybe I'll tell you what, we'll play just a few minutes. How about if we play just a few minutes of it? Why not? Can we do that? Yeah, sure. Here, listen to this.
This is, according to the official story, this is the MAGA pipe bomber who planted an explosive device outside of the national headquarters of the Democrats. We prove that the FBI's withholding critical footage of that criminal act from the public, the most terroristic element of this so-called insurrection, and the Democrats aren't interested in having this release. That alone is very strange.
Of the so-called most dangerous attack on U.S. soil.
Right, and keep in mind, this actually involves explosives, so it's the most sort of terrorist-like aspect of the day that they're describing as the biggest act of terrorism since 9/11, even worse than 9/11, and yet the Democrats are uninterested in getting this footage that's been withheld from the public for whatever reason. The FBI hasn't responded to it. Nobody wants to talk about it.
All right, that was Darren Beatty, and you can listen to the entire, there's a link to the entire conversation there, but the alleged pipe bomber on January 6th, the spoiler alert, long and short of it, is this: multiple cameras were affixed to view the Democratic National Committee's building. The FBI said, look, we want to find out who planted these pipe bombs. The footage that was released, the frame rate per second was 1.2 frames per second. Now, you've got to go back pretty far in history to get a camera that would record at 1.2 frames per second. I mean, we're talking, I don't even know. If I wouldn't even know where to get one of those, because I mean the frame rates now, you know, 30 frames per second or greater, 4K cameras. If they were very concerned about security, certainly it would be much greater than the 1.2 frames per second. Okay, so the other part, the cameras, the location of the cameras, the FBI provided the worst possible, well, almost the next to the worst possible views of the pipe bomber. Plus, they withheld more footage. And come to find out, these pipe bombs were planted the day before. That was on January 5th. But the mechanism, the timing mechanism, only permitted 1 hour. So in other words, it was either going to go boom in an hour or it wasn't going to go boom. The one planted at the DNC was planted out in the open for everyone to see, mere yards from a physically occupied guard location where somebody, a guard, actually stood to keep track of everything. It was the pipe bomb itself was visible from public areas. Now, the one at the Republican National Committee building was better hidden, much different, but it still had the same 1 hour timer that, by the way, didn't work. Now, we're led to believe that this was the most heinous terrorist act on the planet since 9/11. And even bigger than 9/11. Yet the FBI under Chris Wray, and the Department of Justice under Merrick Garland give us either modified, because there's no way that I could possibly come up with any kind of device that would track at 1.2 frames per second. Now, look, at our studios, even at my home, I've got cameras that are 4K resolution that can see in the dark, essentially. And you're telling me that this location, the DNC, was just open, left wide open? It doesn't make any sense. So the FBI and the DOJ, they don't want any resolution to this pipe bomber. Why not? What are they hiding? That's the big issue, folks. Look, nothing about the January 6th incident was an insurrection. And if someone were to ask me about it, I would say, look, the people did not go far enough on January 6th. I'm not talking about, you know, breaking things. And no, I'm talking about remaining there peaceably and certainly making sure that, you know, that you weren't part of any kind of Antifa-inspired group or BLM-inspired group or the Fed insurrection people. You weren't hanging with Ray Epps, in my personal opinion. But we kind of let that go, didn't we? Which goes back to the J6 prisoners that I mentioned just a little bit ago. So all of this is happening. Meanwhile, of course, Twitter, you see things about Twitter and you see things, all kinds of different things going on. We've got to keep focused and we've got to prepare, because what is coming, folks, and this is where I'm going to end this. I've got another, I think 8 or 9 tabs of information. But to cut this at this point right now, Well, one more thing. I do want to show this. I think this is extremely important as well. You know, the lame duck session of Congress, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of things can happen during the lame duck session. And I do suspect that we are going to see some things happen that we saw in the past. And that's the changing of the immigration, illegal immigration, illegal alien status. Things are going to change. Take a look at this. Take a look at this and tell me what you think. All right. You know that the Republicans want to right now want to make a deal, want to engage in amnesty on illegal aliens. They want to come to some sort of an agreement. The left certainly does in this lame duck session. If you go back to 2012, in fact, June 15th of 2012, that's when Barack Hussein Obama, his Rose Garden speech, hey, we're not going to call them illegal aliens, they are dreamers. That, of course, launched DACA. If you think about what happened back in 2012, annually through 2012, you had about 8,000 juveniles come into the United States, come through the across the border. From 2012 to 2019, that jumped threefold to 24,000. And in 2020, it is now, and even higher than this, 130,000 per year. So where are these people coming from? If you look into this, and again, this is all part of the bigger picture. When you look into this, only 1% are coming from Mexico. 1%. Now, we have this amnesty program where, you know, if you're seeking amnesty, you go to the first country I don't want to say favorable, but well, I guess favorable safety. But only 1% are Mexican. So those coming to the United States could stop in Mexico by law, must stop in Mexico and claim asylum there. No, they don't. They come to the United States. 1% are Mexican. 13% coming into the U.S. are from El Salvador. 47% are from Guatemala. 32% are from Honduras. Many opportunities to claim asylum before the United States. During this lame duck session, there are two lawmakers, Tom Tillis, a Republican from North Carolina, Kristen Sinema from Arizona, a Democrat, who are attempting to, plus 10 to 12 other representatives, they're trying to codify or make permanent additional aliens as citizens. By the way, we're well past 2 million a year now in total of those coming through that we know about. So like these 11 million, you know, I don't know how many illegals are here, maybe 11 million. No, it's far beyond that. But so this lame duck Congress is going to try to change DACA, going to try to change something called the Eagle Act And the Eagle Act is specific to and for tech companies. And the Eagle Act benefits one country, and very specifically India, and it pushes all of the illegals like from India. What this would do would give them legal status here in the United States. But getting back to the juveniles, take a look at this. Crimes by juveniles and crimes by juvenile aliens. I want to find out, as an investigator, I want to find out specifically what the stats were. So, at the Center for Immigration Studies, and I'll put this in the program description box, you can look at this yourself. Beyond the limited universe of DACA-eligible aliens who had to have been present in the U.S. since 2007, of course, that's an age issue. What do we know about crime by juvenile aliens more broadly, and crime by juveniles even more broadly? Juveniles commit a significant and troubling proportion of serious crimes in the United States, writes, or as you can see from this article. The Department of Justice's Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention has released data revealing that in 2018, minors committed 11.5% of all serious violent victimizations. And that goes from homicides to aggravated assaults to rapes and robberies. And data from the FBI and the OJJDP indicate that in 2019 and 2020, juveniles accounted for 21% and 18%, 2019 and 2020, respectively, of all arrests for robbery, with juveniles under 15 accounting, respectively, for 22 and 21% of the juvenile arrests. And you can go through these numbers. They're staggering. They're absolutely staggering. So these are these dreamers. This is the dreamers, right? That's supposedly. These aren't necessarily the voters, at least not now. These are the dreamers. But now that's a snapshot of all juveniles. But when you break it down, of those coming into this country, and it does that as well, you're going to find very similar statistics in terms, or very similar percentages, very similar percentages of those coming into this country. So you can read through this, and I suggest you do to understand how big this problem is. But the fact of the matter is, you've got at least two individuals, two lawmakers, Tillis and Sinema, a Republican from North Carolina and a Democrat from Arizona, and another dozen or so lawmakers, pushing a bill that I believe was drafted by Representative Lofgren to codify, to allow the people to remain, give them amnesty, whatever you want to call it, here in the United States, and change the demographics of our country. Folks, this cannot stand. So those people who are looking for, whether it be at the school board level, for some level of justice, or at the county council level for some level, some form of justice, or whether you're looking for justice when you're looking for justice, I'm trying to move my cursor there. When you're looking for justice, it's by itself, we're not going to find any, and most assuredly we're not going to see any come through with respect to the new Congress. So my closing words are this. Please prepare for kinetic action because it's going to happen. You can see it forming a mile away. You see what's going on in Philadelphia. You see the military combining with law enforcement going after a mother in New Jersey for daring to speak out against objectionable material at a school. You want to see something kick off? Boy, I'll tell you what, go ahead and just hack off the moms, the mama bears, and the papa bears, because that's not going to work out well. Then you've got the fact that there is no justice, in fact, no investigation, at least not any kind of serious investigation, that gives the truth about January 6th, while we still have political prisoners suffering and politicians like Bowser doubling down against these patriots, while people can rob, ransack, whether they're citizens or not, rape, kill, and then through the Soros system of district attorneys and attorney generals and other and numerous other positions get away. How long do you think we can last? We can't last very long, and we're not going to last very long. You combine that now with the inflation, with the lack of availability soon of things like diesel fuel, DEF fluid for the diesel vehicles, and begin to think that we are going to be seeing shortages. And once that happens, do you think places like that place in Philadelphia are going to be safe from looters and from people who are hungry? I don't think so. So, I mean, other places that aren't armed. So there will be a take up of arms, but that's not going to stop certain people from doing what they need to do, at least in their mind, and that is to go in and loot and even kill for food. It's coming. Please understand it's coming. All of this complements of the left and, of course, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the Party of Davis, and the One World Government. By the way, folks, if you see Kevin F. from New Hampshire, wish him a happy 50th birthday. Kevin, thank you so much for all you do for this platform and for what you do for the country. Kevin, happy 50th birthday. All right, with that, may God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night.